Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Herbal Remedy Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now,
there's a new one every week, isn't there?
Isn't it great?
I mean, how many divisions can we have?
Well, we've noticed that herbs are becoming big business.
Yeah.
I mean, big.
They are. And anything that means big bucks, we're right in it.
You got it. So we've decided to expand into herbal car care. For instance, you've heard of this stuff called echinacea. I think that's how you pronounce
echinacea.
It.
Echinacea. I take it all the time.
It's the stuff that people...
Smells like dirt. Tastes like dirt. Tastes like somebody went out in the backyard and put a handful of dirt in a bottle and mixed it up with water.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, actually.
Yeah.
It's dirt.
It's dirt. Yeah.
It's dirt, and...
It might be special dirt, but it's dirt.
Yeah, so we got this new product called Ecofino. Now, you put like 20 to 30 drops of this herbal root extract into your crankcase 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And it will stimulate your car's autoimmune system.
Auto, very good. Autoimmune.
So your car will obviously be less susceptible to mechanical failure. We call this preventive herbal maintenance. Ecofino.
Ecofino. So when people say, what's wrong with my car? Ecofino.
Yeah, and it's both the answer and the remedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we going to be selling this over the air?
Maybe? $12.95 a bottle.
Yeah, well, why don't we sell it to all our listeners?
Yeah, 3-day supply, the bottle.
All right. Do I have to read some of this mail? By the way, the mail.
As long as you don't read anything from Melissa Peterson.
No, I am not going to read anything from Melissa, although I do have quite a few letters mentioning dear Melissa.
You do. Would you care to share one of them, a brief one with us?
Dear Click and Clack, this is from Jackie Murray. I just wanted to tell you that I like your show. And I think that stupid Melissa Peterson, I hope I spelled her name wrong, is a real jerk. Oh, geez, she's getting nasty. She's obviously one of those people who don't have a clue, but goes around acting like she's hip to everything.
Right.
She probably sells used cars.
Right.
That's it, Jackie. Good. I can't remember all the stupid stuff that she said in her stupid letter, but I do remember that in one of her many stupid PSs, she said her dog hates your show, too. That was the part that really hurt. I mean, I didn't mind Melissa hating it. When she said her dog, I've never met a dog except, you know, who.
Well, I'll let you finish your letter, and then I'll tell you something interesting thing about my own dog.
Okay.
Go ahead.
People like Melissa should not be allowed to have a dog. My dog thinks your show's great. I can tell because she always listens to it sitting in her chair with her head on the armrest staring at the radio. I'm sure you will agree that I'm a better person than Melissa Peterson, and my dog is better than her dog, and so my opinion is bedrock, and hers is drivel. Your friend.
Yes. Jackie, we need friends.
Jackie Murray. Thanks,
wow.
Jackie. Boy, we did need that.
You know, I have a dog, as you may know.
Yes, I do know that.
And one of the reasons I've always wanted a dog is that even though your kids and your wife don't greet you at the door when you come home for a hard day at work.
Dog is always right there, man.
Well, that used to be the case. The first couple of months, the dog was right there. I'd be with the key in the door, and she'd be right there.
Yeah.
Panting. No longer.
No?
No, I come in, and she won't even get up. See, sometimes we'll lift her head in acknowledgement, like, oh, you? And it's gotten so bad, I'm going to tie a pork chop around my neck to get her to play with me now. It's depressing.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You know why? Because she's been listening to Melissa Peterson.
She's probably been listening to our show.
And she says if her dog doesn't like it, then I guess this is not a show for dogs. We're in trouble.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sandy from Clifton Park, New York.
Hi, Sandy.
Sandy, are you calling from the bathtub?
No, does it sound like I am?
Yes, it does.
Did you just subscribe to Time Magazine?
No, it's probably because I'm calling from my work phone, which is in Hyde Park, New York, just 100 miles south of Clifton Park.
Oh, okay.
But we have a phone system here that makes that kind of funny echo, so please excuse me.
That's quite all right. It's not your fault. You know why it makes that funny sound? Because all the calls are being monitored.
Right.
To ensure.
Oh, yeah. The recording devices do that. That's all right. You'll be terminated in the morning, but that's okay. In the meantime,
what's up?
Well, I have a 1997 Honda Accord, and it has started making occasional loud noises.
Mm.
Noises of the type you might hear from a young man's car who is fiddled with his to make it sound like it needs a muffler.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
But the noise isn't constant. It's occasional.
It's only on my way home from work, not on my way into work.
Anything else going on when this happens?
Well, I kind of tried to think logically the way you guys do. And I noticed that.
Oh,
I tried to
who
think,
put you up to that state?
I almost spit the coffee right across the room.
Well, I thought, what's different about my morning commute from my afternoon commute? And I realized that in the morning, it's early and it's cool, and I don't have the air conditioner on. In the afternoon, particularly last week, it was kind of warm, and I had the air conditioner on, and so the compressor was going.
Mm-hmm. Well, the compressor doesn't go all the time, you know. It does cycle on and off.
Yes.
And when you hear the noise, is there any kind of predictability to it? And do you have to be moving to hear it?
Yes, I have to be moving.
When you described this problem, you described it as sounding like a car that needs a muffler. Do you have any evidence that you don't need a muffler?
Well, the fact that the car runs quietly 85% of the time makes me think that it's something other than a muffler.
But you, if we could give you some scenario in which...
Or a coupon. We gave you a coupon, you might... You know, maybe.
If we gave you a scenario in which we could show you that you could occasionally have a bad muffler,
okay.
In quotes, you would you buy that? With or without the coupon?
Do you take charge cards?
Yeah, what would it take?
All right,
Sandy,
wait.
What would it take to get you into a new muffler today?
I would need a coupon for sure.
I mean, it sounds enough like needing a muffler.
Can I give you one other bit of evidence?
Sure.
This might clear it up.
Yeah, we might need two, but go ahead.
Well, I thought it was related to the compressor, so I thought, well, I'm going to try driving in the morning and put the air conditioner on, need it or not.
Oh, you have a very scientific mind.
Yes.
What do you do for a living in Hyde Park there?
I'm a marketing manager for the Culinary Institute of America.
Really?
The Culinary Institute of America.
The CIA.
The CIA. If I said I worked for the CIA, you would have hung up.
Wow.
Yep.
So you turn on the air conditioner on your way to work.
Yes.
And
I'm going to tell you that it didn't make any noise.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Well, what does that tell us?
It's got nothing to do with the air conditioner.
We knew that already. Well, I mean, I'm leaning toward it being the cooling fan.
Are you?
The fan that cools off the end. You know, there are two fans on this car. I think one comes on automatically when you turn on the AC, and the other cycles on and off as the engine to coolant temperature dictates. And it may be that you're hearing the fan hitting something. Did you have a little fender bender with this car ever?
Uh-oh, you found me out. In January, I had a front-end collision.
Aha! Play the music, Dan! And I'd be willing to bet that your fan is hitting its shroud and making the noise, which will sound not unlike a baseball card in the spokes of one's bicycle.
The fan shroud.
Yeah.
And you could
confuse it with the sound of a bad muffler.
Oh, I could confuse a lot of things.
But I think that's what you got going here.
I like that. I like it.
I like it, too.
Well, Sandy.
Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Come down to the CIA for lunch.
All right. See you later. Thanks for the invite.
It'll be a secret between you and us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. This is Barry from Flint, Michigan.
Barry, what's happening,
is that
man?
Barry with a Y?
Yeah, that's a Y at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Believe it or not, I have a problem with unbelievably huge numbers of dead bugs on my windshield. When I drive to work, when I drive home from work, I have to wash or clean the windshield at least every day, sometimes twice a day when I get to work, in order to practically even see through it. My wife says it's just because I drive too fast, and it brings back the old debate about running versus walking in the rain. Does it matter if you're running or walking?
Well, if
I drive slower, am I going to have fewer dead bugs, or is it just because I'm a maniac and I drive too fast?
She's right. You drive too fast.
I drive too fast.
Just like you're going to get wetter if you run through the rain.
Wait.
Except you're going to get there sooner, so that'll make you less wet.
You'll have more time to dry your clothes
off.
Depends
on how far you have to go.
Well, no, I see that in this instance, don't listen to a word he's telling you. No, yeah, if you drive fast, you're going to get more dead bugs on
sure
your windshield.
You are.
But the aerodynamics, they improve as you go faster. Doesn't the air kind of slip over the windshield?
It does, and as it slips over the windshield, any bug that's in your path gets croaked.
Oh, I see. Your theory is
they're going to go right over the roof.
They're going to go over the top.
Yes.
Well, the faster you go, the more of them are going to go over the top. Is that your theory?
Yeah.
I like it, but it's wrong.
You know, but there are things you probably have seen going down the road, trucks or maybe even cars that have a bug deflector on the hood.
Does that work?
That works.
Well, we're hoping to find out from you, Barry.
Okay.
Well, that does work.
Oh.
I think it works.
Oh, I think you should sound a little more positive.
They've been around for so long.
It has to work.
It makes so much sense.
But I think what it does is it just changes the flow so that the bugs either hit this thing or the ones which don't hit it go flying over the roof and miss your windshield.
They hit the guy behind you.
They hit the guy behind you, exactly. Yeah.
But
maybe you're the guy behind the guy with the bug thing. You ever think of that?
But you notice that thing, that bug deflector thing, clearly interferes with the nice smooth flow.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what makes it work, which would mean that without it, and therefore having the beautiful aerodynamics, you do get more bugs.
So the more aerodynamic cars, like the Corvettes and the Ferraris, they get a lot of bugs, even though they're really aerodynamic?
Well, no, I think the speed is the critical factor.
Speed, yeah.
If you're driving at 20 miles an hour, you're not going to have any dead bodies on the windshield.
No, because they're just going to bump into the windshield and say, oh, Another car, and they'll
fly
away.
You ever get hit by a bug when you're riding your bicycle?
Oh,
it feels like someone hit you with
open.
A 2x4. Yeah, there's a lot of momentum there.
Yeah.
But I think
your wife is absolutely right, because the driving that you do, you shouldn't come home full of bugs on the windshield. That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you drive? Are you driving something like an Isuzu Trooper?
Well, no, it's a Mercedes. The one that goes too fast.
The one that goes too fast. And so you drive like a maniac, and your wife, as usual, is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Hmm. We won't tell if you won't.
Okay, I won't tell.
See you, Barry.
Thanks a lot.
Slow down.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rhonda, and I'm from Washougal, Washington.
Rhonda with an H?
Yes.
Washuga?
Yes. Yeah. Across Columbia River from Portland.
Okay. We're with you.
Got it.
Okay. I have a 93 Dodge Caravan.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a real low, loud idle all of a sudden. It's gotten gradually worse.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of like ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. And whenever I go to step on the gas, it'll accelerate very, very slowly. The RPMs will go really high, and then it'll either lurch forward and slow way down, or it will start to accelerate slowly and make a lot of loud, low banging noises.
Yeah, so?
I need to go faster. People honk at me because I'm accelerating so slowly.
So let me get this right. While you're sitting at a light without trying to move the thing.
Right.
You're in drive.
Yeah.
And it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you try to accelerate, and it doesn't want to go.
Well, the RPMs will go up really high, and it'll start to accelerate really slowly, and then it'll get to where it's ready to shift again, and it'll either lurch really hard and then go jerk faster, or it'll make a lot of loud banging sounds and continue to accelerate slow.
Well,
banging sounds.
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
I don't like it. I'm a lead foot, and I can't go anymore.
You haven't had anyone look at this thing yet.
I took it into our transmission guy, and he said it's not the transmission, it's engine performance.
Exactly my point. I didn't think you could have two things so awfully wrong with it.
So,
this thing is a V6.
Yes, correct.
And I think you're running on 5 cylinders. That would explain the loping at idle and the rough running, and it would also explain the lack of power, because you only have 5/6 or maybe even less.
Okay.
You might have just even 2/3 of the available power.
Yikes.
But it doesn't explain the low, loud idle.
Yeah, it does, because it's running on 5 cylinders.
And it kind of jerks.
Yes, while you're sitting there in drive, the engine is shaking, the car is shaking. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
Ah.
Tell me how quickly you forget. This is just the way your dart ran. Blah, 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 blah. shaking because either one of your spark plug wires has fallen off,
mm-hmm.
or some such thing.
Wouldn't the transmission guy have seen that the spark plug wire was not attached?
No.
Maybe. I mean, he first of all, you should go back and hug this guy because he could have rebuilt the transmission and then told you, by the way.
And then just plugged in the wire.
It's my friend's brother, so he wouldn't have done that to me.
Oh.
Okay, so you think it's just a spark plug wire?
Well, I'm just guessing that it could be a fouled plug, or you could actually have a burned valve. I mean, you could have a vacuum leak. There are any number of things that could make the engine run on four or five cylinders and would give you all the symptoms that you have: the rough running, the poor performance, the inadequate acceleration. Everything could be explained by something very simple.
Okay.
So you should get it someplace.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Hey, I love your show, guys. I listen to you every weekend.
Thanks for listening and thanks for calling.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, it's time to take a short break.
All right. And when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler.
Do you know the answer?
Are you kidding? I didn't even know we had a puzzler last week.
We'll be back in a minute.
Get a doll and we'll have a ball. We can double date, double date. I got Dad's car, so go on and call. We can double date. Double date. It's more fun when there's someone to take turns at the wheel. That old back seat can really be neat when you're cruising in a brand new automobile. Grab that phone and get your honey. We can double date. Double date. I got the car and you got the money. We can double date. Double date. Get yourself a neat one.
And even though Scott Simon makes a note to start working on his unicycle act again whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I liked it, now that I remember it.
There had been an accident on the Upper Canyon Road. A middle-aged driver in a European sports car apparently lost control in the early morning light and plunged 100 feet to his death.
Mm.
Even though he wore his seatbelt and the airbag had deployed, neither prevented the broken neck that ended his life. The police detective called to the scene began to study the evidence. He slowly removed the dead man's sunglasses, admiring them and thinking to himself how nice it would be to own a pair of designer glasses like these.
Mm.
He puts them on it and looked at himself in the driver's side view mirror. Nice, but not by prescription, he thought. He removed the sunglasses and carefully placed them on the dashboard.
Yeah.
No, the scientific approach.
Got it.
He stared at the dead man's face. He obviously hadn't shaved that morning. He noticed a deep impression the sunglasses had made on the bridge of his nose, the obvious result of the tremendous force generated by the exploding airbag.
Mm.
He stared intently into the dead man's blue-green eyes and thought how peaceful he looked and how his relaxed countenance belied the obvious terror of his last few moments on Earth.
This is a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun here.
Well, you set the stage, you know.
Yeah.
The detective slowly rose from his uncomfortable crouching position. He summoned one of the officers to the scene and said, "Dust for Prince. This is a homicide."
Get out.
What did he see? What did he know? This was loaded with hints.
Oh.
I thought.
Yeah.
I
think so, too.
Right from the prescription sunglasses.
That's clearly important.
And the staring into the blue, what did I say?
Blue-green eyes.
One, he had one blue, one green. What he saw and what made him suspicious was that the victim was wearing contact lenses. And you wouldn't be wearing your contact lenses and
Your prescription sunglasses at the same time.
Well, if you were, you'd probably run off the road and crash your car. Man, that could explain it.
That would explain
anyway,
everything.
Who's our winner?
The winner is Dr. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi.
Yeah, well, hey, they have doctors
there, too.
There's
such a place?
Yeah.
Hmm. Where are you from? I'm Long Beach, Mississippi. And for having his correct answer selected at random, Dr. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi, will receive... What was he going to receive?
A $25
gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get, now get this, 1 9/16 copies of the CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. Now, this guy has the option of sending in the $25 and getting back change. But he's not going to get any change.
No, we don't do change.
We don't do change.
No.
So he's going to end up paying $25 for one CD. And then what's he going to say? That's no good. I can get something else because I got $8 left.
By kicking a few more bucks.
Kicking a few more bucks, and he's going to buy two CDs. Well, congratulations, Dr. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stick around for that. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Gary calling from Brainerd, Minnesota.
Hi, Gary.
Brainerd. Brainerd. How do you spell that?
B-R-A-N-I-E-R-D.
Okay.
By all the lakes.
By all the lakes. What yeah. What lake is... Well, they're out... Isn't Minnesota the land of a million lakes?
Right.
10,000.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I got a problem for you, a real good one.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law has a 1967 T-Bird. Mm. And she thinks that I burnt it up for her.
Oh, Gary.
Yeah, really. What happened is, it was parked in our garage. We took her for a trip over the weekend. When we came home, I went to start it for her, and it seemed like it was flooded. So I opened up the hood, took out the air cleaner, and I put a screwdriver into the butterfly to hold that open to get it.
I know what happened.
Well, it started up. It ran good. It probably ran for 2 minutes in our garage. We loaded up her car so I could get rid of her. And so then my wife backs the car out of our garage so she could get her started straight so she wouldn't run into anything.
Yeah.
And she drives off. And about 15 minutes later, we got a highway patrol at her door with my mother-in-law back at our house saying that I burnt her car up because I monkeyed around with the carburetor.
What, did it actually burst into flame?
Well, it burnt the... burnt the engine and the wiring, and that's about it. It was towable.
Towable. Yeah, yeah, so is a stone.
Exactly.
But then, see, on top of it, one of the firemen that put it out said, well, it's got to be a carburetor fire. That's the only thing that would have done it. Well,
had you forgotten to replace the air cleaner?
No, that was all back on it. Everything was right back like it was.
Yeah.
Oh, and you did take the screwdriver out.
Yes, sir.
Well,
so let's ask the important question. Is your mother-in-law still with you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to have to get this thing fixed in a jiffy, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Why do we hear someone else on the line?
Do you have the TV on or something?
Oh, probably in the background, I guess there is.
That's all right.
I'm at work.
Oh, you're at work. So do you have to talk softly?
Yeah, we'll keep it quiet. I mean, it sounds very unlikely.
Gary, have you stolen anything from work recently?
No. Never.
Where do you work? What do you do?
I work for a lumber company.
Oh, man. Right, you've never stolen anything.
You could build a whole house.
Right.
No, I think you're innocent, Gary.
Oh, good.
I mean, I really do. It's...
Oh, I'm sure he's stolen something.
No.
Oh, you mean about the car?
I mean about the car. But you never know. I mean, all kinds of things can happen. I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
I used to drive not a 67 T-Bird, but a 56 Chevy. And the radio didn't work, so I had removed it from the dashboard. And I was driving along with my daughter, who at the time was about 6 or 8 years old.
Maybe seven.
And she was asking me, how does an engine work? And I explained to her that, you know, the gasoline goes into... We were driving along. It was a beautiful summer day. The gasoline goes into these little cylinder things, and a spark plug is there, and it makes a little spark, and the gasoline burns. And she looks through the hole on the dashboard where the radio had been.
Right through the firewall. Right?
And she says, yeah, I can see the fire right through this hole. And I said, well, not really, because the fires are inside the engine, hun, and you really can't see the fires. And she says... yes, I can, Daddy. So I pull over and I peek through this little hole, and sure enough, my engine's on fire. And she was able to see through this hole, through the firewall, and indeed, she was seeing flames. And the trouble was that I had, in fact, left the cleaner off because I was lazy. And the car, in fact, was in flames. So I suppose it's possible for something to have happened like this, but I don't think you were responsible for it.
So you don't think it's anything I did?
Absolutely not.
Well, I suspect that the reason the car wouldn't start originally and the reason you had to go out there and fiddle with it was that there was something wrong, like the points were closed up. And whatever was wrong and required you to go out and fiddle with it, and that's the reason it flooded, is you were getting poor spark. So it was probably that that caused the fire, too. It probably backfired once she was trying to accelerate on the highway. And it backfired and started a flame under the hood that was, for a while at least, contained by the air cleaner until the paper air cleaner caught fire. And then that flame spread out through the snorkel, and the thing was like a fire-breathing dragon. The carburetor, not your mother-in-law.
That's how she was when she got to the house with the highway patrol. Yeah. So I think you're innocent. I don't know that this does you any good to be innocent.
Oh, no, you will never be able.
You will never be innocent.
You will never prove you're innocent.
In the mind of your mother-in-law, I mean, you could have anyone come, expert or otherwise, and proclaim your innocence. But in the mind, in the eyes of your mother-in-law, you will be forever guilty.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, yeah, you can probably steal enough lumber to build yourself a shack out in the backyard. You can live out there for the summer. Just buy her a car. Actually, let her just move right in.
Go back to work.
That would really be great.
See you later.
Thanks for calling, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What? I mean, that's the sort of thing.
Oh, that is a fate worse than death.
You can never live down something like that. Never.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there are situations in your life where you have done something that was purely innocent, but it didn't look it, and you'll never live it down.
Like what? I mean, what could what could I possibly have done in my? I mean, I don't know of anything I could have done in my life.
Well, actually, I was trying to think of things that have happened in my life that I have been blamed for forever.
I mean, the only
wives are
the
very
only thing
good
that
this,
remotely
you know?
Approaches that.
I knew that something would
remotely is when I crush your sleek black beauty.
Oh.
I mean, I've gotten over it. I trust you have, too.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even think about it anymore. I don't even wake up in a sweat anymore at night. I've had two or three nights of sleeping almost all the way
See,
through
the
night.
See, I know. It's a long, you know, cathartic process, but I knew that you would get over it.
Yeah. I will someday.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Darlene calling from Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Darlene.
Darlene, how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
You know that the name Darlene was in the running for Donna. I mean, Donna and Darlene were the two of the names considered for the archetypal Camaro driver.
Yeah?
Yes. We have concluded that the majority of young bubbleheads that drive Camaros or Firebirds are named Donna.
Uh-huh.
Bubbleheads.
But bubbleheads. but Darlene was right in the running.
Oh, my God.
By grace of God, you escaped.
Come on, Darlene sounds like a wonderful, sweet person. You're insulting her.
I'm not insulting her. I'm just an observation.
Darlene, did he not intimate that you are a bubblehead, as he calls it?
Right. Well, wait till you hear my question.
I'm on your side. I'm on your side. No matter what you have to say, I agree with you.
Go ahead.
All right. There's two male friends of mine, and they're giving me differing advice. So, bubblehead that I am, I called two males to see which advice I should follow.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear their whole story.
So you want two males to give advice about the other two males.
Right. Okay, first of all, there's a gentleman that I was dating, Dr. Frank, okay? He's a dentist.
We'll just call him Dr. Frank.
Dr. Frank.
Or Frank.
Obviously a smart man. He's a dentist, right?
Dentist. Yes.
He has some very expensive toys. He has, like, two vintage Corvettes, an antique Cadillac. He comes picking me up in the Mercedes convertible, and...
Has he proposed yet?
No.
All right, well,
no, she dumped
him. Okay, but here's what was strange. When filling up at a self-serve station, and this has happened several times, not just one car or another.
Yeah.
I know the question.
What?
I know he burps the car.
He bumps it with his hip to remove the air bubble.
How did you know that?
And he fills it to the brim, so it cannot possibly hold one drop more of fuel.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's Bob.
Bob, yeah. Okay. Bob. What's Bob do?
Not Dr. Bob. Just Bob.
No. Bob is a starving poet.
Oh, yes.
He is a brilliant man. Brilliant.
Yeah. Is he cute?
Oh, they're both cute.
They're both cute.
He owns like an 89 Dodge Caravan, and he takes really pretty good care of it, but he doesn't have any toys or anything.
Yeah.
He told me to stop filling. When the pump clicks off, stop right then. That if you put too much fuel in the gas tank, it puts a strain on the fuel system. And especially living in Florida, you need to allow for gas expansion.
Well,
the heat.
So which one of these two do you think is right?
Well, now, my thinking is, just because Dr. Frank has four or five cars doesn't mean he knows how to take care of them.
Doesn't mean he's got four or five brains.
Well, my mechanic has four or five teeth, and I wouldn't want him doing a root canal.
We have to get off the subject.
The dentist has four or five cars. The mechanic's got four or five teeth.
But teeth are overrated.
Okay, well then I have to question Bob's judgment because he is responsible 2 years ago for forcing me to listen to Car Talk.
You have had a checkered background of real wackos. Darling, what is it about you that attracts these guys?
Well, they're brilliant, so obviously they're attracted to me.
Yes,
they're cute, of course. She goes for cute. You should never go for cute.
Well, I will tell you that Bob is right.
Yes, of course he is.
Bob is right.
Dr. Frank is wacko.
And this wasn't influenced by him forcing me to listen to Car Talk, right?
No, certainly not.
Well,
although
not
we were
much.
Favorably disposed toward Bob from the very beginning here. No, the truth is that, as you know, when things get hot, they expand.
Right.
And so does gasoline. And a lot of times you may have even seen cars, especially in Orlando,
right,
where it gets real hot.
Right.
If you fill the car up to the top and park in the sun,
yeah,
then the gasoline expands and it will leak out of the gas tank.
Oh, I've never noticed.
Yeah, it probably won't leak out of the tank, especially if the cap is on tight. But what it will do
it
is
will
it will force gasoline into the charcoal canister, into that part of the emission system, which is designed to capture the vapors.
Oh, that little overflow thing.
But when the gasoline is filled to the tippity top, it'll actually push liquid gas instead of vaporized gas.
And foul up the whole canister.
And screw that up. So Bob is right. When the pump says you're done, you're done. As a matter of fact, if you look in most owner's books now, it'll say, don't top off the gas tank. When the thing shuts off, hang the thing. And they didn't have to do this years ago because, well, no, maybe they did.
Well, the truth is,
self-serve gas stations have become very popular. And people don't want to go to the gas station any more frequently than they have to. So they figure if I can get an extra gallon in, over my whole lifetime, I can make like three fewer trips to the gas station.
Yes, and that brings out the issue that Dr. Frank sounds like a real anal retentive kind of guy. He's trying to reduce the total number of gas station trips by one out of a lifetime. And in his cars, which don't have this canister, they're all old cars, those tanks will overflow.
Oh, okay.
So Dr. Frank, brains or not, teeth or not, is completely wrong. And Dr. Bob, the starving poet, that's almost redundant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Darlene, you are a sweetheart, and you don't deserve either one of these guys.
Well,
you deserve much better than either of them.
Tell me I'm not a bubblehead.
You're not a bubblehead.
You certainly are not a bubblehead, but Dr. Frank is.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for your
much.
Call.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we're going to take a short break.
That's good, because I spilled orange soda two calls ago. And if I don't get up now, this chair is going to be permanently caramelized to my butt.
We'll be right back.
Dragon, dragon, escort wagon. Dragon, dragon, escort wagon. Dragon, dragon, escort wagon. In Vietnam, you can hear them say, car in the USA, hey. And on the streets of Baghdad, some 20s sure look rad. Listen, buddy, I ain't bragging, gonna go around.
And even though earwax sufferers pause before putting their drops in whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. This is another of the very famous matchstick puzzles.
Ah, and a long series, the matchstick puzzle series.
Very long series. Yeah. Most of the kids are out of school or close to being out of school, and I thought that before their minds get too dull, this would be a good little puzzle to just, you know, keep them going a little longer, maybe.
Kids. So this is that a hint? Kids?
Everything's a hint.
Everything's a hint. From the time you say the word puzzler, and maybe even prior to that, every word is a hint.
All right, get a bunch of matches, matchsticks.
Okay.
Matches, wooden matches, preferably.
Or toothpicks. You don't want kids playing with matches.
Matches?
We don't need no stinking matches. See it coming a mile.
Get a bunch of toothpicks.
Toothpicks, sure.
And make the following equation with Roman numerals.
Yeah.
XI, that's 11.
11.
All right. And then with small matchsticks or toothpicks, plus 1, then an equal sign, X. So you have XI plus I, or
11 plus 1.
11 plus 1 equals
10.
Equals 10, right?
That's not right.
That's not right. And the question, very simply, is what is the fewest number of matches you can move to get an equation that's
correct?
And you can't throw away any matches. You got to
move one or two or three.
Oh, I asked what's the fewest number.
Fewest number.
What's the fewest number you can move? Now, I'm going to give a hint.
Wait a minute. I have a question. Can you use the plus sign or the equal sign as well?
Well, you could take, for example, you could take the vertical piece of the plus sign and take that away. So you would have 11 minus 1 equals 10. But what would you do with the thing you took away? Stick it in your ear? You've got to use them all.
Oh. I would put it into on top of the equal sign.
Oh, that's bogus. That's absolutely
Then it
bogus.
Would be 11 minus 1 absolutely equals 10.
I'll give you the hint.
So you could do that. You can move those things around as long as you don't lose any.
I presented this to my son the other day, my younger son.
Yeah.
And he looked at it for a minute, and we had it set up on the kitchen table.
Yeah. With matches or toothpicks?
Cigars.
Cubans?
Yeah. He leaves the room, and as soon as he re-enters, he has the answer. So if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or waste some electrons by sending us. Boy, they must. I want to invest in electrons.
What is the least? How did you phrase this again? What is the least number
of? The fewest number of matches.
The fewest number of matches or toothpicks that you can move and make this into a legitimate equation.
Yes.
A valid, a true equation. An equation. Why does it need an adjective?
Right. Equation needs no modifier.
Oh, man. That is good. Good.
So email us your answer from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us right now with a question about your car or maybe even an answer or anything, we don't care. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
My name's Alan. I'm calling from the base of the Wet Mountains in Colorado.
Did you say Alan?
That's correct.
Was that with the one L?
That's right. A-L-A-N.
That one.
Got it.
Very rare spelling, actually. Most people have the two L's.
Well, there are a lot of one L's in this part of the country.
It would be really unique if it had no L's.
Now, that would be interesting.
That would be really something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on?
Well, I have an 89 Ford F-150 that gets driven in a lot of mud.
Mm.
And it's managed to cake up the four-wheel drive stick. I can put it from two-wheel drive into four-wheel drive, but I can't get it to go into four low. It's rather strange. And I spoke to a mechanic, and he said that the mud will cake around the transmission and prevent you from being able to move the shifter. So
yeah,
I could believe that, kind of, maybe.
I sprayed. It won't budge. I can't seem to get this mud out. So my question is, Can I soak my truck? Maybe like back it down a boat ramp and give it like a sitz bath for my truck.
I mean, how long has the mud been caked on there? Weeks?
Well, it's a real clay mud, and it takes about a week, and it turns into like cement.
Yeah,
and you can
sure
actually see this mud accretion in the vicinity of the transfer case shifter.
No,
because I don't think there is any.
You don't think there's mud?
No.
Well, I mean, have you tracked down where that linkage is?
No.
Oh, but you got to get someone to get inside the truck and move that linkage so you can see exactly what it is that's got to move.
Yeah.
It's more likely that you broke something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, something else since this has happened about a week later, now the emergency brake, when I go to push the emergency brake, it won't go down. And I've looked at the linkage on the emergency brake, and it's all connected. It's not broken, but it's like there's something stopping it from...
Yeah, and that something is called R-U-S-T.
Yeah, well,
the cable has rusted to the sheath.
Yeah.
Or it's just full of mud. I mean, that's possible, too.
I mean, I think what's causing the transfer case to be jammed up is the same thing that has disabled your emergency brake, and that is more likely rust.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think the shifter linkage is bound up with rust, and that's why you can't shift it into four low.
Okay.
And I think the e-brake is bound up with rust, too, and it's probably going to require that you replace one or more of the cables.
Okay.
To get the e-brake to work.
Okay.
And you might have to have someone take apart the shifter to free it up. But there's nothing underneath there that you can hurt by washing it.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Even with high pressure. I mean.
Yeah. Well, and since then, I went and bought a pressure washer.
I was just going to recommend that. I've been dying to get a pressure washer.
Well, I got
to
say, I bought one last year. There I was in Home Depot. Yeah.
Sure.
With $300 burning a hole in my pocket. And yeah, exactly. I always wanted a pressure washer. But
who doesn't?
And I'd always been discouraged by the high price.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, there I am staring in the face of a $300 pressure washer. What man could resist?
None.
I couldn't.
I couldn't either. I pressure washed everything that first day. My wife's bone china, you name it, I pressure washed it.
There's nothing finer than big boy toys.
Well, the pressure washer should do the trick. But be careful, because when you do shoot that high-pressure water into those things like the e-brake cables, you will cause them to rust.
Yeah.
Because they're not designed to take that kind of intrusion, and I bet you that's what happened to them.
Okay.
Yeah. You might want to take this to a shop and tell them what's going on. They may be able to fix it in 15 minutes.
Get someone to move that lever back and forth out of two-wheel drive into four-wheel drive, and you will see what's going on underneath, and all will become completely clear to you.
Yeah, you'll see the bracket that's broken.
And you'll go on, you'll get yourself a little chisel, and you'll clear away a little bit of mud, and it's going to work like a dream.
Guys, I hope so.
Yeah,
well,
I doubt it.
Thanks
but
a lot for your help.
Enjoy the pressure washer.
Yeah, I will.
See?
I will. Well, I hope you get a chance to use your generator.
Oh,
thanks for calling,
Alan.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You need anything pressure washed?
Doesn't everyone?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Denise from Evanston, Illinois.
Hi, Denise.
Denise, is your brother named the nephew?
Oh, God.
Very good.
Where are you from?
Evanston, Illinois.
Evanston.
Northwestern University.
Are you a college professor? That was my next question.
I am not, actually. I used to be, but at the Art Institute, actually, I am a fashion designer, so nothing
no
like
kidding.
It. No
really?
Kidding.
We've been looking for someone to help with our wardrobes.
Ever since Mr. Gigi left the fold, so to speak, we've been in a fashion drought.
We certainly have.
I've seen you guys. You look pretty good.
Oh, we could commission you to create the car talk look.
Look.
You know, like the regular guy look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Well, we may need you.
Okay,
we'll see how we do with our first interview here. So what's going on, Denise?
Oh, I'm really hoping you'll help me make a decision. Last summer, I was having one of those kind of important birthdays, and I decided I needed to recapture my college days. So I decided I needed to have the 1961 Volvo P544.
Really?
Yeah.
So you found one?
Well, yeah, but I found it on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it on the web.
Oh,
you did. Well, whatever you paid for it, I hope you've got about 100 times that amount left over to fix it.
I feared you would say that.
What, for those of you that don't remember the P544, it was a...
How could you forget it?
It looked like a smaller version of American cars of the 40s.
Yeah.
With the rounded back. It looked like the kind of a car that Jimmy Cagney... or maybe the Humphrey Bogart rode in High Sierra with Ida Lupino at his side. But it was the Volvo version of that thing. It was pretty distinctive looking.
Yeah.
How much did they sell? Did you pay for this?
Did
you pay more than like double digits for it?
Wait, I'm not sure what double digits means. Like, you mean in the
under $99.
Come on, the shipping alone must have cost them a couple of G's.
Oh, I can't even tell you.
We don't want to know, Denise. It will do nothing but damage your reputation.
It doesn't matter because it's sunk cost. What's the question?
Well, so the question is, should I bother with this car? Let me tell you that it came what she called in driving condition, and they couldn't take it off the truck because it had no brakes.
Well, she didn't say stopping condition. She said driving condition.
That's right, and I cannot get... I've called every Volvo mechanic in the city, and they won't even look at it.
Really?
Really. And so Lenny...
Lenny.
Here
we go.
Right away, I like Lenny.
Well, Lenny is sort of my handyman around the house.
Oh.
And Lenny claims to also be a mechanic.
Oh.
Well, for this car, he might be.
This is my question. If I decide to restore it, which Lenny says, it's everything. New engine, new carburetor, new...
All right, so now you got it. What did you pay?
I paid $3,000 for it.
Oh, jeez, Denise. Is there anyone close enough to give you a dope slap?
Oh, please. My husband, it's taken everything in his power to not say... I told you so.
What a saint he must be.
He is a saint.
Well,
my
I mean...
God.
I wouldn't condemn Denise right away. Because, first of all, if the body is in good shape, and structurally the thing is good, then $3,000 may not have been so much to pay. And even though it may look like a complete loss right now, it may well be that when you find the right guy, and it might not be Lenny.
No,
For example, if you lived here in the Boston area, we would send you to Fred, and he would take it as his child, and he would nurture it.
And he would embrace it and caress it and drain your bank account, but in the process.
You would come to love Fred despite the cost.
I need a Fred.
And at some point, and he would even allow visitation rights. You could come once a month, once every 2 months. And you could visit with the 544.
First of all, there's got to be equivalent of Fred Swanson in Evanston.
You know, I looked on your website even with the good mechanic.
Yeah, no, you don't want a good mechanic. You want an old one. good. At this point, good is not the primary criterion. No, you need to find, log on to the Volvo Car Club of America site.
Okay.
And they, and believe me, there are jillions of these 544s around.
That's the problem. Now I see ones. I mean, I was so impulsive.
Now they're all over the place.
Right, and I could have. Oh, God.
Well, the alternative then is to buy another one. This will really test your husband. and maybe with the two of them, it'll be easier to make the two into one car. See, making one into one car might prove difficult.
Yeah.
But if you bought a second one. Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be the same year because the parts didn't change dramatically from one year to the next.
Right.
You may be able to cobble together a car that could get you around by maybe next summer.
Yeah.
So you might want to investigate that, or you might want to just ditch this car and get another one entirely. And if you got one the same color, your husband wouldn't even know. You could do the swap like one afternoon while he's at work.
I think she's going to make this one go.
Well, Denise, you have your work cut out for you, but I can tell that you are equal to the task, and then some.
I love that car.
You got to use the web. You got to use the web, and you will find someone.
Yeah.
But you can go to our site and post something in the car questions area.
Yeah, does anybody know a mechanic for a P544?
Okay.
And you might find somebody.
And I wouldn't limit yourself to Illinois.
No.
You may have to go to Indiana. You may have to go out of state. See you, Denise.
Thank you so much.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
I know. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What we do is we get older. You try to recapture.
Yeah. You can't go home again.
Those halcyon days.
You can't go home again.
No. And especially not if you're driving a 61
right.
P5.
Right. You can't even get halfway home.
You can get home again in the tow truck.
You can't even get out of the driveway.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the St. Moritz, Lemon Spritz, Mini Ritz, Bacon Bits, Buttered Grits, Cheese Biscuits, Olive Pits, Wiener Schnitz, Bottle Schlitz, Banana Splits, and Slivelvitz. Stuff your mitts with all that fits is John Bugsy Lawler.
Wow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Oliveira. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our staff naturalist is Deirdre Oppings. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Alban Heard Before. Tommy's ex-house cleaner is Stu Grody. Our luncheon chef is Hannah Mia Canatuna. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pouting second-choice commencement speakers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Remember this. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1423, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a commencement address to remember.
As in, remember, never invite those two bozos again.
Exactly.
This week, we're disinterring. You ready for this? Audio clips from a commencement address that we gave a decade or so ago at our alma mater, MIT.
That was the year their endowment dropped by $500 million.
Yeah, right after you finished speaking, in fact. Anyway, if you'd like to hear clips from an event that will never, trust me, never be repeated, check out our MIT commencement address all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Schrodinger's cat asks if he can stay in his box whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.